Winchester Talking Newspaper, 27th of January 2023. Hello, and welcome to the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. I'm your presenter, Roy Faithful, and your readers today are Vara Williams.
Hello.
Tom Williams.
Hello.
And Jane Harding.
Hello.
And if you know someone who's sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings of the Winchester Talking Newspaper and the Winchester Talking Magazine, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229. And this phone number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. If there's a problem with your Sovereign player, please try plugging it in and recharging before returning it as faulty. The main headlines this week are electric buses set for spring rollout, markets drew nearly 500,000 visitors to city, and all systems go at Leisure Park. So, may we have the story behind the first headline, please, Vara?
Thank you. And that's electric buses set for spring rollout. A trial for electric buses in Winchester is set to take place this spring. Green campaigners are hailing it as an exciting move in the battle against traffic pollution in the city centre. Winchester City Council is hoping to be able to integrate electric buses into its park and ride services. However, a worldwide shortage of electric vehicles had delayed the trial. Councillor Kelsey Lerney, Cabinet Maker for Climate Emergency, updated the City Council at the full meeting last Wednesday. In response to a question from Councillor Jane Rutter, Councillor Lerney said, "Our intention is that of a trial of an electric bus can be started in the spring. However, we are advised that there is a worldwide shortage of electric vehicles, which has made it very difficult to obtain one in order to undertake the planned trial. However, Stagecoach has been extremely helpful in obtaining a suitable bus from Sweden in order to undertake a trial as part of the park and ride service. The intention is to integrate the electric bus into the park and ride service as soon as it arrives. This will be helpful in terms of assessing how electric buses perform as part of the park and ride and the infrastructure needed to support them. We will arrange an opportunity for members to ride on the new bus once it arrives." Last year, a hydrogen-powered bus was on display outside the Guildhall. Councillor Malcolm Wallace, Green Party member, said, "Traffic is the single largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in Winchester, with the latest data showing that transport makes up 57% of all CO2 emissions in the district. The electric bus trial should be an exciting step towards decarbonising our public transport, not only helping us to reduce our carbon footprint, but also improving local air quality. However, a lot more is needed going forward. In their draft local transport plan, Hampshire County Council stated that national policies on moving to zero emission vehicles won't get us far enough quickly enough, and a 10% reduction in car use is required between 2019 and 2030. Achieving this goal requires a coordinated response across all aspects of local transport, walking, cycling, trains and buses, to ensure that residents have improved options available for getting around. So electric buses will be a step in the right direction, but there's a long way to go."
Let's have the second headline story, please, Tom.
Thank you. Markets drew nearly 500,000 visitors to the city. It has been revealed that the Winchester Cathedral Christmas Market attracted nearly 500,000 visitors this time around. The annual event saw another increase in visitors and excellent feedback from stallholders. The 2022 edition was the 12th festive market and ran from November the 18th to December the 22nd. The inner close had a wide range of stalls featuring gifts, food and drink from across the UK. A cathedral spokesman said, "We think around 450,000 people over the period, which is an increase year on year." The performance stage was well received by all local community groups, and we had over 80 performers join us. Anecdotal visitor feedback and collated trader feedback was overwhelmingly positive, with 95% of traders saying their experience either met or exceeded their expectations. Every one of our traders said everything was well organised and the stewards were extremely helpful. The friendliness and can-do attitude of everyone involved makes Winchester a great place to trade. Another said, "I had the best neighbours and I've loved being part of this Christmas market community. Customers love the mix of high-quality traders this year, particularly in the makers' market, where we had an incredible range of local artisan products on offer. This was our 12th market, and we'll be back bigger and better in 2023. You have been warned."
And let's have the third headline story, please, Jane.
And here we have All Systems Go at Leisure Park. Winchester Sport and Leisure Park has been going from strength to strength, according to the City Council. Councillor John Tippett Cooper asked about how the Leisure Park, which opened in 2021, was performing. Councillor Lucille Thompson, Cabinet Member for Business and Culture, said, "I'm pleased to report that our operators, Everyone Active, EA, provide a full range of outreach programmes in partnership with others, including the Council. These are for people with different health needs and levels of ability, a range of age groups, and from locations across the district. We work closely with EA to deliver their sports development and health and well-being programmes, which include activities for children, young people and adults to take part in on a regular basis." Councillor Thompson listed the following activities at the facility. A project for young people under the care of Southampton Hospital. 3 weeks were carried out in the summer, swimming, netball and gym, October and Christmas holidays. In between these gaps, participants have had a free membership given to them and all now have their own gym programmes. The pilot project with Winchester Beacon provides memberships for service users. Currently, there are 5 members benefiting from this project. Falls prevention, yoga, tai chi and resistance training for residents of Cheslel Lodge in partnership with Hampshire County Council, which supports good physical health and help them to feel positive and live independently. Severe Mental Illness Health Programme launched in October in partnership with the Clinical Commissioning Group, CCG. This is a free 12-week programme of either gym or yoga. Once completed, participants will receive an additional 3-month free membership. Everyone Active Athletes, 49 from Hampshire Talented Athlete Programme and 12 from EA's Sporting Champions Programme. Launch in September of Good Boost, which is an aquatic session partly funded by UK Active. This provides an additional aquatic programme outside hydrotherapy. Outreach health programmes are planned for the coming year within the wider community in schools and community settings, such as scout groups. And this is accompanied by a photograph of the new Sport and Leisure Park in Bar End, which is a very large, new-looking glass building. But there is also a large curved bench, which looks rather comfortable, around the bottom of the building next to it.
And that concludes the headline stories. We continue with death notices, then Christian comment, followed by letters to the editor, Belgarum Diary, first person and editorial comment, and we'll end with items of general news. And I'll start with the death notices. Atwell, Penelope Susan Sue Atwell, peacefully in the Dower House, Winchester, aged 84. Berman, Roy Berman, peacefully at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, aged 88. Harbert, Anthony James Harbert, peacefully at Winchester Hospice, aged 93. Michael, John Michael, Keeling, Harry Keeling, at the Dower House Nursing Home. King, Betty King, peacefully at Winchester Hospice, aged 80. Mitchell, Dr. Alan Edmund Mitchell, peacefully, aged 87. Moole, Julie, née Clark Moole, aged 57. Owen, Lawrence Laurie James Owen, peacefully at home, aged 89. Piper, Patrick John Piper, at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, aged 80. Platt, John Cam Platt, peacefully at home, aged 85. Reeves, Geoffrey Ronald Reeves, at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, aged 86. Sweeney, Patrick Sweeney, at home in Gillingham, Dorset. And finally, Tracy, Patricia Ann Pat Tracy, and she was aged 80. Now it's time for Vara with Christian comment.
And this comes from the Reverend Philip Crinks, and it's headed Net Menders. If you've visited Winchester Cathedral, you may have found your way to the Fisherman's Chapel. That is where Isaac Walton is buried, a holy man, pioneer of the art of fly fishing, and author of The Complete Angler. In the chapel, there is a famous stained glass window. This has large figures of four patron saints of fishermen, St. Anthony, St. Peter, St. Andrew, and St. Wilfrid. Below, it has two scenes from The Calling of the Fishermen Disciples. In one, Jesus calls Peter and Andrew with the words, "I will make you fishers of men." In another, he calls James and John, who are with their father mending the nets. When James and John leave their father, Zebedee, to follow Jesus and become members of that group of first apostles with whom Jesus would found his church, they may have thought their net-mending days were over. But in fact, I think net-mending was a crucial skill which they were taking into the new spiritual community which Jesus was founding. They already knew how to mend what was torn, sewing back together and reweaving broken threads. Now they would be weaving back together the broken fabric of lives, of the life of each person they would be ministering to. Together they would be working to mend the torn fabric of society and community. For that is what apostles do, what all followers of Jesus do, following the example of Jesus himself. When St. Paul asks the members of the church in Corinth to be united with one another, something which has been much prayed about during the recent week of prayer for unity, his words are usually translated as a call to be united in the same mind and purpose. But Paul actually uses the word for knitting together broken threads. "I appeal to you that you be knit together in the same mind and purpose." This applies to us, a point the window artist in the cathedral window makes clear. In the two bottom corner panes, the artist develops a parallel between the fisherman disciples in Galilee and the holy and devout fisherman Isaac Walton. The bottom left-hand corner pane shows Isaac fishing in Dovedale, Derbyshire, but the bottom right pane shows him fishing in Winchester itself, next to the Itchen, apparently somewhere near the modern line of Garnier Road. The distinctive shape of St. Catherine's Hill, with its copse, can be clearly seen. As the first apostles fished in Galilee, God revealed his word to them, making his light shine where there had been darkness. So, as Isaac Walton fished and read the scriptures by the Itchen, God revealed his word and his light to him, and so he will do for you. Whoever we are, wherever we are, the call rings out, "Follow me," says the Lord, "and I will heal you and weave you into the fabric of God's kingdom. And as you follow my call, I will make you yourselves the menders and weavers of my healing and of my salvation for individuals and communities, that all may see the great light and salvation of God."
We'll continue with letters to the editor. If you wish to contact the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by telephoning 01962 860 836. The email address is news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, and the written address is the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, S0238AL. There are 9 letters this week, and Tom's going to start.
The first letter is from Simon Lever and is headed Saving A&E Unit at City Hospital. Winchester Royal County Hospital A&E is of critical importance as a local area A&E facility, ensuring ease of access to ambulance crews, thus facilitating speedy delivery of patients, some suffering life-threatening injuries. Moving Winchester A&E to a location closer to Basingstoke makes no sense whatever. That was in Chronicle Letters on January the 6th. Not only the distance ambulance must engage, but extensive traffic too, especially the notorious M3. The nursing-associated medical staff are vocationally dedicated to the welfare of patients. Staff living in the Winchester area would in many cases have to relocate. Totally unreasonable and obviously not considered. For unpleasant injuries that do not require an ambulance, the locality is of great importance. The bus service in Winchester is incredible. There are bus stops literally outside the hospital. Winchester Royal County Hospital A&E location is of critical importance. Saving lives ensures local ease of access. Under no circumstances must Winchester A&E be relocated. Such ideas are unlikely to have been instigated by medical staff who are at the front line of such facilities. Let common sense prevail. We have a wonderful A&E facility. My personal experience can vouch for this. That's from Simon Lever of Juniper Close, Badger Farm.
And L.J. White writes track trouble back in 1960s. Your report on the railway landslip near Hook rekindled some memories of a similar event on the same embankment about 60 years ago, Chronicle January the 19th. Then, both the up lines to Waterloo were suspended, but after a few days, temporary track alterations enabled up trains to use the down fast line as far as Winchfield, where they regained their normal tracks. Obviously, there was still congestion and delays with down trains limited to the down slow, which I think lasted at least 3 weeks, but not helped by further slippage damaging one of the down tracks for a short period. Apparently, there were similar problems once in the 1930s. Of course, on both these occasions, the Winchester to Alton line was open and provided an alternative route, but of limited capacity by being single track and not helped by its severe gradients. That route is now closed anyway, with a substantial gap from Winchester Junction to Alsford. On the next page, you mentioned Environment Agency flood warnings for Chandler's Ford. In 1964, there were some houses flooded in, I think, Mead Road in Chandler's Ford, with Parsfield Avenue in Eastleigh also under a few inches of water, let alone the usual flooding through Mansbridge along the A27 with the White Swan engulfed. Although Parsfield Avenue hasn't been flooded since, Fleming Park and the White Swan certainly have been several times. What is the saying so loved by experts? Once in a lifetime, etc. And that was from L.J. White, Sparrow Square, Eastleigh.
This letter comes from Mike Biden and it's headed Nurses Struggle as MP Visits. Last July, the chair of the Select Committee on Health and Social Care published their third report of the 2022-23 parliamentary session, in which they said it is unacceptable that nurses were struggling to buy enough food for their families, pay their housing costs, and get to work. Why doesn't the chair, Jeremy Hunt, now he is Chancellor, fix the problem and give them a pay rise? What is the new chair of the same select committee, our MP, Steve Brine, doing to ensure that that report is implemented and our nurses and other health workers do get a fair pay rise. Your large photo in last week's edition, showing him visiting and promoting Hobbs, a local private healthcare facility, suggests that perhaps his mind and interests lies elsewhere. And that's from Mike Biden, Northbrook Close, St Giles Hill, Winchester.
Winchester cycling hazards. I don't cycle for pleasure, but only as a means of getting from A to B. I recently made several journeys from Oliver's Battery to Hyde. I would never choose to use Romsey Road as a cyclist, as it's too disruptive to other traffic. There are alternatives and safe routes through Badger Farm and St Cross. However, once near the city centre, it's not so easy. I just wonder if the City Council has ever considered cycle routes. Is being green just something that's talked about at COPs, but without any action? And that's from Tony Gaster of Old Kennels Lane, Oliver's Battery.
And George Spencer writes, play ball over eviction threat. It has come to my attention that Alsford Town Council plan to evict Alsford Town Football Club from their home at Arbury Park at the end of the current season. In my view, this is completely unacceptable. This seems to have been forced on the club out of the blue, leaving them not only without a home, but also with virtually no time to dispute the ruling or plan for the worst. Non-league football took a major battering in recent years, thanks to the restrictions and those who supported said restrictions, and it wasn't just in non-league. My Premier League side, Chelsea, were targeted by both the government and the opposition at the tail end of last season. Going back even further, Winchester City were seemingly looking into the abyss 10 years ago. I urge everyone in Alsford to go and watch their local side at every opportunity for the rest of this season and show Alsford Town Council exactly what they think of their proposal. And that was from George Spencer, Anstey Road, Alton.
Rail treat on the steam railway from Geoffrey Moody. He says, I was pleased to learn from your article in the Chronicle on January the 19th that a book has been produced celebrating the Watercress line. This has invoked memories of my father, an engine driver, before progressing to mainline duties, drove the Eastleigh to Alton service. So, on one occasion, he invited me, a schoolboy, to ride on the footplate with him. This was the first time I heard the expression over the Alps, relating to the gradient of the line to Alton. It is still in use. 3 years ago, my younger son treated me to a Watercress line footplate ride. The crew were interested to learn that I'd covered the same stretch of line 65 years earlier. A memorable day was rounded off with a very tasty light lunch at the West Country Buffet on Alsford Station. Long live the Watercress line. And that's Geoffrey Moody, Harrietsham, Kent.
Jill Thirkelson writes about disappointing play area plans. Thank you to Claire Brown for highlighting that the new playground in Abbey Gardens may not, after all, be suitable or accessible for children with disabilities. This will be terribly disappointing and disheartening to parents and carers of those children, who are not able to use playground equipment as equally as their able peers. To enhance their experience and aid their development, it's vitally important for these children to have a place where they can mix and play with other children, and not least their own siblings. As the grandmother of a four-year-old with profound global delay, I have first-hand experience of the importance of common social areas. It will be interesting to hear Councillor Charles Radcliffe's comments on this point. I am assuming that he has contacted associations, for example Scope, who have tirelessly campaigned for inclusive playgrounds, collecting over 35,000 signatures calling for this to be included in all future planning of play areas. Not least, I would have thought that with Shepherd's Down Special School just outside Winchester, which caters for 113 children, this would have this would have course featured in would had of course featured in the planning of a play area in Winchester. As Claire Brown stated, unless you have a disabled child, you don't understand how difficult it is, and this is only one area of life with a child who has disabilities. And that's from Jill Thirkelson of Albany Court, Bishop's Waltham.
And Marjorie Bevan writes, no nudes sparks memories of visit. And I believe this is in reference to the fact that the Hampshire Cultural Trust had banned nudes from the art exhibitions in the new art space at the Arc in Winchester. I was amused by Belgarum's cartoon in a recent copy of the Hampshire Chronicle. No nudes, we're Hampshire Cultural Trust. It reminded me of a few years ago when my English cousin, who lived in Santiago, came to visit us in Winchester with her second husband, Ramon. We met them at Winchester Railway Station. Ramon asked in Spanish, "Do they know I am from Chile?" "Tell him sí," we said. After all, he was suited and booted in a large brimmed hat, brandishing a silver-knobbed cane, and over his right shoulder a blanket of finest wool. As we drove past Elizabeth Frink's statue of Man and Rider, with a broad smile he said, "Ah, Lady Godiva." And that was from Marjorie Bevan, Backstreet, St Cross in Winchester.
Michael Fielding is getting to the root of the problem here. He says, in February of last year, Storm Eunice brought down some trees in Cheriton Road full flood. Some came down directly, and others had to be taken down by contractors as they were unsafe for one reason or another. One such tree was taken down in September, but once the site had been cleared, it looked as though it was being left free for a replacement. The original tree had been there since around 1933, so I imagine that little in the way of nutrients remain in the ground. It was a surprise to see a replacement in pretty well the same hole last month. Was this good horticultural practice? And that's from Michael Fielding, Cheriton Road, full flood, with a picture of the tree that's just been put in.
And that concludes all of the editors to the editor this week. And thank you very much to all of our contributors. Tom is now going to read an alternative look at the news because he's got Belgarum Diary.
Yes, Belgarum has two items this week. The first is Sunday off limits for sorting out car park. A large part of the Barfield Close Park and Ride multi-storey car park was closed to the public for a day. Cones on the ramp to the second floor were put out at about 8:15 a.m. last Wednesday. That's presumably the Wednesday before this Wednesday. Morning to prevent drivers from accessing the upper floors. Many drivers had to do a U-turn and find other spaces to park. A City Council spokesman said the upper floors were closed due to some minor line painting repairs. All work should be completed by the close of play today. Today was the first available date for the contractors to attend, and there would have been an increased cost associated with carrying out the works on a Sunday. And there's a photograph of the cones out, preventing access to the upper floor, except that it looks as if one car has escaped and managed to get there before the closure. And the second item is shedding light on old weather station. Can any Chronicle readers help with a request for information about the weather station on the front of the Guild Hall? People walk past it every day without paying it much attention, but if you take time to study it, you'll discover it contains a wealth of fascinating information about the city, and not only its weather, but also its latitude and longitude, its height above sea level, its time difference between compared to Greenwich Meridian. But how did all these calculations come to be on the front wall of the Guildhall? Who put them there and when? These are questions for which Mark Fletcher and Kevin Butler of theatre group Out There Actions are now seeking answers. They are planning a performance this year's Winchester Hat Fair, which takes the weather station as its starting point, and also celebrates the pioneering work of such scientists through the ages as Eratosthenes, an ancient Greek who was the first person to calculate the size of the Earth in about 240 BC, using just a stick. Strangely, these curious performers have found it nigh on impossible to discover very much about the weather station and its origins, which is why they are now asking for help. Does anyone know its roots in history? Do you have stories to share about the weather station? Matt and Kevin can be contacted at outtheirreactions at gmail.com. There's a photograph of the weather station giving the latitude and longitude of Winchester and all the other details, and there's a barometer and all sorts of things there. If you pass by, you may see it.
This week's first person is by Joanna Lewis, and Jane's going to read it.
And she is writing, sadly, Dire Mess of the NHS. I'll never forget the look on a doctor's face in A&E last summer. My sister and I had accidentally walked through the nerve centre of the clinical team on a Friday evening. We were so absorbed in our own family drama, wondering what sepsis meant for Dad, we missed the red no entry sign. The doctor looked up with a mixture of shock and dismay. He was just too ground down to tell us off. It was still only 7 p.m. This week, ambulance drivers have gone on strike. Physiotherapists have taken the same difficult decision. Nurses will strike again later next month. I applaud them. These are dedicated, professional and brave women and men taken to the limit of endurance. I saw for myself how bad things can be in emergency care. My elderly father was treated in an ambulance for hours before waiting another 36 hours in A&E for a bed on a ward. I have only admiration for the care and compassion staff showed, despite working in an environment that was a cross between Billy Smart's circus and a disaster movie. It was hair-raising, which was probably the only human condition not presenting itself. Waiting times were 12 hours. Routinely we heard drunks shouting out. I saw one woman seeking out a discreet place to sit, trying to hide a black eye or a swollen cheek. Police women routinely waited for drug addicts outside toilet doors. Seeing someone with a conventional injury like a broken thumb was a rarity. The staff were performing miracles in between mountains of form filling. It was they who needed wrapping in cotton wool and a sit down with a cup of tea. How do they keep doing this day after night after day on 12-hour shifts? The NHS can't be fixed, we're told. It's too complicated. The problems are too big. The COVID backlog will never be sorted. No political party has the will nor the leadership to tackle it. Just love the NHS, don't criticise it. It's a gift to the world. We mustn't be defeatist. A simple time and motion test could do wonders. The inefficiency is staggering. The woman in the next cubicle to Dad was waiting a whole day for her medication from the pharmacy. The portly middle-aged man on the other side got so impatient waiting for transport, he threw himself out of bed and crawled on all fours towards the exit. He was only wearing a short hospital gown that tied up at the back. Thank goodness security arrived before my mother did. It was not a pretty sight. Downsize the number of managers and the diversity bureaucracy. The NHS is the most diverse employer in the world. Form filling takes up too much time. Process has come before patience. Remove the culture of, if it's not recorded, then it didn't get done. Staff spend hours recording information that's not read, repeated, or can't be shared widely as IT systems are so antiquated. Why not tackle the legendary wastage? If everyone pooled the crutches, Zimmer frames or wheelchairs they weren't allowed to return, we'd probably have enough equipment to start a new NHS. Ambulance workers are on the front line in the rise of addiction, domestic abuse and self-harm. COVID is not only the only pandemic they face. The law must come down harder on drug dealers and wife beaters. Supermarkets should be banned from selling cheap alcohol. Seeing so many young people consumed by addiction in A&E was heartbreaking. We need to accept ID cards are now necessary to help combat health tourism. The rise in numbers is crippling and unfair on people who have paid national insurance all their working lives. Of course, as individuals, we must all help just by taking more responsibility for our own health. But the head of the NHS must also take responsibility, and she should resign.
And now, it's the editorial comment. Over to you, Vara.
Right. The heading here is Electric Buses Step in the Right Direction. Good news about the trial of electric buses in Winchester due this spring. The introduction was announced at the full council meeting last week by senior councillor Kelsey Learney. It has cross-party support, as all councillors are singing from the same hymn sheet. Winchester is certainly making some progress towards becoming as green as it possibly can. But for every one step forward, there is at least half a step back. Introducing electric buses will cut city centre pollution and reduce the city's carbon footprint. But the vehicles need to be better used. It will be no good if they sleekly purr, or whatever electric vehicles do, while petrol and diesel cars and vans and lorries still clog Winchester's congested streets. It's time for the City Council to bite the bullet and close central car parks to encourage people to use the park and ride services to the south of the city. St Peter's car park off Gordon Road was only supposed to be temporary back in the 1980s. It's time to build some council houses on that land.
Lighting up time ends on Friday the 27th of January at 7:50 a.m. and it begins at 4:47 p.m. And on Wednesday the 1st of February it ends at 7:43 a.m. and begins at 4:56 p.m. This is the very last Winchester Talking newspaper recording being made in Unit 12 Community Centre in Winnall. When this has been completed and copied, we're all looking forward to moving into the Hampshire Chronicle building in Upper Brook Street in the centre of Winchester and establishing a much stronger relationship with the publication. Next week's recording will be made there. We'll continue with further items of general news, starting with one read by Tom.
Yes, the first item is headed Park Life to Put Pep in Your Step. A health and wellbeing officer has listed her top tips on how to use nature to combat the winter blues. Connecting with nature has been proven to improve people's wellbeing. At what is often the coldest and bleakest time of the year, the South Downs National Park is encouraging people to get outside as a low-cost way of putting spring in their step. The park's health and wellbeing officer, Kate Drake, says one in four people will experience a mental health problem in their life, and everybody has mental health that needs looking after. January and February can be the particularly hard months for a lot of people, and it's fine to acknowledge that you may feel a bit low. Fortunately, there are so many simple joys to be experienced during the winter that don't cost the earth. Getting out into the fresh air and going for a walk in a tranquil space is a very powerful way of releasing stress and allowing those happy hormones such as serotonin to bounce back. People will be surprised how much better they feel after being out in nature to enjoy a moment of calm and appreciate its beauty. Here are some nature-based ways to enjoy the outdoors in the South Downs National Park. Take a walk in a green space. The National Park advises wrapping up warm for a walk in the local park or trails in the South Downs. Walkers are encouraged to see what they can notice and whether the first flowers emerging, buds on the trees, leaves on the ground, or somewhere with a view. Second, keep a nature diary. A nature diary would include notes of sightings and words that come to mind or a quick sketch. Third, listen. Park staff say listening is a great way of centering and being in the moment. For added impact, the park recommends people to keep their eyes closed and listen to the sound of nature, from raindrops to birdsongs. Next, night walking. The South Downs National Park is one of 20 international dark sky reserves with some of the best stargazing opportunities in the UK. The annual Dark Skies Festival is a highlight of the South Downs winter calendar and is set to take place from February the 4th to February the 17th with stargazing parties, storytelling, astronomy and walks.
And here we have Netflix blockbuster stars come to town. Winchester Cathedral went into lockdown as Netflix stars were shepherded inside the building to film the latest series of hit drama, The Crown. Scenes of season 6 were filmed inside the cathedral on Tuesday and Wednesday. The cathedral, which was used as a substitute for Westminster Abbey for Diana's funeral, was closed to visitors with services being moved to the Undercroft. A huge crane was positioned in front of the main entrance with rigged lighting. Around 15 trucks were stationed along the outer close green, as well as 7 smaller cranes along the wall in the inner close and scaffolding lining the building. According to a member of the public whose daughter is in the show, the stars could be seen leaving in cars out of the back of the cathedral early on Tuesday morning. The cast members involved in the Winchester filming have not been confirmed, but stars announced for the upcoming season include Imelda Staunton as the Queen, Elizabeth Debicki as Diana, and Dominic West as Charles. While security staff from Maloney & Associates Location Services were reported to have to sign non-disclosure agreements, a crew member did say filming might take place all night. Peter Simmons' students, Juliet Wilman and Amelia Pataki, went to the cathedral in hope of spotting some of the cast. Media student Julia, 18, said, "It's the most amazing thing to happen this week and we wanted to come and see what's going on. I would have loved to have met Emma Corrin. The scale of the production is as I expected. They need the big lights as it will be dark for filming in the cathedral. Winchester makes sense for The Crown because it fits the time and the architecture." Amelia, 17, added, "Oh, it's quite surreal. I didn't expect anyone famous to be coming here." Speaking on Radio Solent, Winchester University film lecturer Dr. Daniel Mattingly said, "Winchester is not too far from London and it's within commutable distance for the talent. We've also got lovely scenery and location. It's well connected. In terms of logistics, often production companies will get special rates and arrangements if they choose to shoot in places which aren't the big metro hubs in the cities, which can save money. Practicalities, logistics and all sorts of things come into play when choosing to film in a place like Winchester, as well as obviously our lovely cathedral, which is a nice double for Westminster too. The average budget for The Crown is somewhere in the region of $250 million for a season, and that usually buys you a pretty big summer blockbuster in Hollywood. So they're throwing an awful lot of money at this." And there are some photos of what was going on at the cathedral, having walked past it a few times. It was incredible. At the back of the cathedral were this enormous line of lorries, and then on the front of the cathedral, an enormous crane throwing a light, a beautiful light, looking at the photo, onto the main window of the cathedral. And round the back is a huge line of green and yellow lights being shone onto the far side of the cathedral. And then down at the bottom there is Amelia Pataki and Juliet Wilman stargazing and hoping they're going to see somebody famous.
Work on a new GP surgery in the city centre is set to begin in March. Assura PLC is working with the NHS to build a new surgery for St Clement's Practice and its 15,000 patients on the current car park on the corner of Friarsgate and Upper Brook Street. Winchester City Council has been working for more than 5 years to relocate the current surgery from Tanner Street. At a recent full council meeting, Councillor Michael Reid asked for an update. Councillor leader Martin Todd said, "The pandemic and sharp increase in construction costs have meant that the selected primary healthcare developer, Assura, had additional hurdles to overcome in preparing for a construction start on site. However, these issues have now been resolved. Following extensive work in redesigning the internal layout for post-COVID clinical treatment and structural and external revisions associated with value engineering," whatever that is, "delivery of primary care buildings is fraught with challenges. Over the last 2 years, Assura have successfully navigated their way through complex negotiations with NHS England, NHS Integrated Care Systems and the District Valuer. As a result, the scheme meets all stakeholder requirements operationally and financially. Contracts have already been exchanged with Assura for a sale of the Upper Brook Street car park site on a ground lease, and completion is anticipated in February with a start on site in March this year."
New sewerage solution in fight against fatbergs. A water company has unveiled £15 million worth of revolutionary technology it hopes will tackle the scourge of fatbergs and reduce flooding in people's homes. Southern Water is using smarter sewer technology in its battle against pollution, which will alert its control to the risk of areas of the network becoming blocked. Monitors will communicate digitally with Southern Water's Operational Control Centre, where technicians are warned about potential blockages forming long before any risk of pollution spill from a manhole or flooding directly into homes, schools or businesses. Until now, the sewage network has not been intelligent, and Southern Water has relied on customers to flag incidents. Most sewer blockages are caused by unflushables, such as wet wipes and plastics, Southern Water said, as well as fat, oil and grease gathering in pipes. These can lead to environmentally damaging flooding outdoors, as well as flooding inside homes and properties. Southern Water said it pulls more than 5,000 tonnes of wet wipes and other plastics out of its sewer every year, enough to fill a line of 8-foot skips 5 miles long. It also said 80% of pollutions are caused by sewer blockages from wet wipes, fats and oils. In a bid to reduce this happening, 22,000 monitors across high-risk areas of the 39,500-kilometre sewer network have been installed. Southern Water hopes the artificial intelligence technology will cut pollution incidents by up to 40%, 500 fewer internal floods, that's inside properties, between now and 2025, and 7,000 fewer external floods, outside properties, during the same period. The company said the technology has only just become economically viable, with each monitor now costing £300 rather than around £1,000. Alex Saunders, Southern Water's head of wastewater networks, said there is also growing awareness among the customers that wet wipes and other unflushables, combined with fat, oil and grease, incorrectly dispose down the drains to form fatbergs. These block sewers and can cause wastewater to back up the system. This revolutionary technology will mean we can respond proactively instead of waiting for sewers to block. Spills from manholes are ugly, unpleasant and damage the environment. Internal sewer flooding is extremely depressing. We believe the deployment of this system will have a real impact on both of these types of incidents. And, of course, this is accompanied by a photograph of a huge fat bird inside one of Southern Water's sewers.
Oh, dear.
And a bit more light-hearted, groups share funds bonanza. The leader of Hampshire County Council, Councillor Rob Humby, has awarded £67,800 in one-off community grants to five organisations in the county. Revealing where the money was going, Councillor Humby said, "Making sure community activities are accessible is important, so I am particularly pleased that funding awarded to Wickham Community Association will help to maintain a vital ground-level access, allowing the social prescribing and garden therapy to be available for all who need it. I am also delighted to approve funding to Play to the Crowd to support a unique theatre production to be staged at the Great Hall, Winchester, as well as £25,000 to the organisation for their work to deliver the Winchester Hat Fair in 2023, a major cultural and arts event which attracts over 15,000 visitors each year and which has a strong reputation for supporting local and emerging talent. Meanwhile, a grant of £11,000 for Rabble Theatre's production of Henry I in the Great Hall, Winchester, in July will help to cover venue costs and the cost of backstage facilities and performances. A grant of £25,000 has also been awarded to Test Valley Arts Foundation for a pilot project to provide opportunities for greater community cohesion, including a Finding Friends network, an international-themed food festival, pop-up performing arts, music and visual arts workshops, and an artists-in-residence programme. The £5,800 award to Wickham Community Association will enable the group to refurbish and develop their polytunnel area, providing a covered area for local residents and workshop groups, along with space to grow a wider variety of crops. Funding of £1,000 has also been awarded to the Rude Mechanical Theatre Company, providing opportunities for hundreds of residents in seven East Hampshire villages to enjoy Miss Popplewell's Garden, a touring production visiting outdoor venues in small rural communities across the south of England. Finally, the annual Fleet and District Carnival, July 2023, is allocated an award of £1,000 towards increased running costs this year. And this is accompanied by a photograph of the Winchester Hat Fair, which received some of the council funding, and it's an enormous, colourful mask lifted up high and pulled along Winchester High Street, surrounded by the large crowd which was mentioned.
A secondary school pupil from Winchester has successfully auditioned for the London Children's Ballet, LCB. Phoebe Milford, who attends St Swithin's School, will be on tour with the ballet company during February. Phoebe, aged 12, was one of 48 children chosen from the 500 who auditioned for the famous institution. The young dancer, who started ballet at 5 years old, will be performing in Anne of Green Gables. The St Swithin's student said, "I'm very excited about it. It's a really good opportunity for everyone, really. The people will be performing to, as well as all the dancers. And it will give me a chance to develop my performance skills." The LCB touring company was formed to bring performances to those physically unable to attend the West End. As well as performing at care homes and hospices, the performers visit as many special educational needs schools as possible. And there's a picture of Phoebe doing a beautiful balletic leap in a red tutu with this.
Hero farmer to the rescue. A Wickham farmer has been praised for his contributions to the reopening of the A32. Nigel Blackman of Rooksbury Park Farm, Droxford Road, has received praise from the people of Wickham for his help in gritting the road and repairing a burst pipe. Nigel explained, "Being a farmer, I've got access to machinery and that kind of thing. So when we had a very dangerous morning on the first morning of the cold weather, five cars spun off the A32 because of water that was washing down there, the council basically closed the road, which was causing quite a bit of grief for the local residents and everything else. So, I knew where the block pipe under the A32 was, which was why the water was washing down the road. Because the road was closed, it was safe for me to get out onto the road with the digger. And I cleaned the ditch out, managed to get the pipe under the A32 running, then salted the roads using our farm equipment so the 32 could get free and up and running again. After helping to clear the A32, Nigel then went and helped to clear roads around the village, all of which he did out of his own pocket. The people of Wickham have praised Nigel for his help in keeping the roads clear and open, with him even being given a friendly nickname due to his efforts. He continued, "The amount of positive comment that I've had on Facebook has been quite humbling. It's very nice. The village has now given me a nickname. Now, I'm being referred to on Facebook as Farmer Blackman." And there have been other posts recently when there's been a problem going, "You know who you want to call? Call Farmer Blackman." I only did it to help out. I've had loads and loads of positive comments come back, but I didn't do it for anything like that. I did it to be public-spirited for the village, that's all. I'm part of the community, and I'll always do things to aid the community. A sixth-generation farmer, Nigel is also the officer in charge of Wickham Fire Station, the local on-call fire station. There's a photograph of him posing in front of his tractor with his digger attached.
And here we have a big surge in staycations. The number of people who booked a holiday at home has grown dramatically since 2019, despite foreign travel reopening after COVID. Sykes Holiday Cottages analysed booking figures for its 20,000 properties across the UK and found a 38% increase in Hampshire bookings compared to 2019. Lyndhurst, Fordingbridge and Lymington proved to be Hampshire's most popular travel spots, according to the data from the Holiday Rental Agency. Further analysis conducted by Oxford Economics on behalf of Sykes Holiday Cottages and the Short-Term Accommodation Association, STAA, showed short-term holiday lets across the UK have had a positive economic impact over the last few years. The amount of money spent by those visiting short-term holiday lets in the South East reached a record £2 billion in 2021, with tourists typically spending a combined total of more than 12.9 million nights in short-term accommodation across the region each year. The short-stay tourism industry injected £2.2 billion into the South East economies in 2021 alone. More than 33,000 people throughout the South East are now employed in jobs linked to the short-term let industry, working as hosts or for restaurants and tourist attractions. Chief Executive of Sykes Holiday Cottages, Graham Donoghue, said, "With the popularity of staycations not expected to subside anytime soon, there's every reason to believe that the positive economic impact of short-term lets within Hampshire will remain equally strong in the years to come."
Sainsbury's in-store pharmacy set to close. The Lloyd's Pharmacy in Badger Farm, Sainsbury's, will close its doors as the pharmacy withdraws its services from hundreds of stores. The pharmacy in Badger Farm is just one of 237 branches which will close across the UK. It's been confirmed that Lloyd's pharmacies that are not based in Sainsbury's will remain open. A Sainsbury's spokesperson said, "Lloyd's Pharmacy is withdrawing pharmacy services from our stores over the coming months. We will work with them to ensure customers are clear on how they can access an alternative pharmacy provision to meet their needs." The supermarket chain struck a deal to sell its pharmacy business to Lloyd's Pharmacy in 2015 for £125 million. At the time, it meant that around 2,500 Sainsbury's pharmacy staff transferred to Lloyd's. Lloyd's Pharmacy currently operates all pharmacies in Sainsbury's supermarkets. The UK pharmacy sector has come under growing pressure amidst calls for increased state funding support. Chief Executive of Lloyd's Pharmacy, Kevin Birch, said the decision to pull out of Sainsbury's stores was not an easy one. He continued, "We would like to thank them for their continued support and assure them that we are committed to providing a smooth transition over the coming months. I'm very grateful to all our colleagues for their dedication to our patients, customers and communities. It is currently unclear when the pharmacies will close."
TV historian at Rotary Night. Winchester Rotary's An Evening with Dan Snow raised £8,000 for local charities. The event at the Theatre Royal on January the 14th raised funds for Hope Street and Trinity Winchester Women's Services, both of which work with victims of domestic abuse. Dan Snow spoke about his life growing up in a history-obsessed family, his career, and much about the trip led by Ernest Shackleton to the South Pole in 1914-17. He also briefly spoke about his successful trip to the Antarctic last year to find Shackleton's ship, the Endurance. Winchester Rotary President Deborah McCartney said, "We are very grateful to Dan, who gave his time without charge, and also to Shenton's solicitors for their sponsorship of the evening. We're delighted to say that we anticipate a net profit in the region of £8,000. There's a photograph of Dan with Deborah McCartney and other Rotary members.
18th Century Pub for £80,000. The chance to own a pub may be an aspiration for some, and if you're in the Meon Valley, there is one for sale currently if you were interested. The Bold Forester in Forester Road, Soberton, is currently on sale for £80,000, as listed on the businessesforsale.com page. Pubs in England and Wales have had a hard time of it in the last couple of decades, with record numbers closing. BBC News reported last year that the number of pubs fell to 39,970, which is 7,000 less than the number open in 2012. On its profile page, it lists the property as an 18th century freehouse, and it states that the pub has high specification bars and a restaurant which combined can accommodate 50 people. Alongside that, it has a separate detached house for letting, a two-bedroom flat and mature gardens. Additionally, it has the benefit of a car park for customers. Details on the turnover and net profit of the freehouse are available on request on its businessesforsale.com page for those who are interested. On the Bold Forester's own website, it states, "We only use the finest ingredients and locally sourced fresh produce to create classical traditional dishes with our own unique twist and flair, be it a light lunch, a special dinner, or a family Sunday roast." It also says that they have expertly kept local beers alongside more traditional beers and lagers.
TV Brain Box to spice up quiz and curry night. Two charity events are being organised by the Mayor of Winchester over the next few weeks. First is a quiz night hosted by Winchester resident and star of TV's Eggheads, Kevin Ashman. It will be held at Winchester Rugby Club on Thursday, February the 9th, starting at 7:30 p.m. The teams are up to six people and it's £16 per person, which includes a curry. In the past, the event has usually been held at the Guildhall. Then on March the 5th, there is a pie and mash luncheon at Abbey House. This is being organised by the Winchester Pie Restaurant, Pie Carumba of Parchment Street. Tickets are available online. The Mayor's charities are Trinity Winchester, the British Heart Foundation and Winchester Hospice, And there are two quite large photographs, one of Derek Green, the mayor of Winchester, and the other one, of course, of Kevin Ashman, whom I expect most people know.
Protection order slapped on 10 trees after tip-off. Winchester planners have confirmed tree preservation orders for a garden they believe could be redeveloped for housing. The City Council took action after receiving a tip-off that Danesacre on Worthy Road in Hyde, Winchester, had been sold for development. Tree officer Ivan Girdler told the planning committee that Alfred Holmes had bought the site for a row of houses along Worthy Road with access off Lankhills Road. Mr. Girdler said the trees next to Lankhills Road were a cohesive group and felling one would threaten the health of the others. With one tree gone, the rest would be exposed to the wind, something they would not be used to. 10 trees were worthy of protection, 6 sycamore and 4 beech, according to a report to the planning committee. An initial tree preservation order was made last August and will expire in February unless confirmed. The owner of Danesacre, Eleanor Williams, addressed the committee arguing against a TPO. Mrs. Williams said, "Most of our neighbours have developed their land, leaving Danesacre as an anomaly. Redevelopment would be questionable without redirecting access onto Lankhills Road." She said the land had not been sold to a developer, with the sale falling through because of the TPO issue. 6 other developers have turned down a purchase while the TPO was being considered. A TPO makes Danesacre undevelopable, she added. Mr. Girdler said the TPOs were not put in place to prevent development, but to protect the trees. The committee unanimously voted to confirm the TPO. And there's a photograph of all the trees.
And now, beating those Monday blues. An award-winning day nursery has worked to ensure that staff did not suffer any blues on Blue Monday. Despite being labelled as the gloomiest day of the year, there were smiles all round at West Downs Day Nursery in Winchester as colleagues enjoyed a series of Blue Monday-inspired well-being celebrations at the setting. Blue Monday is marked on the third Monday of January every year and is said to be the most depressing day of the year. At the award-winning day nursery on Romsey Road, staff were delighted to receive a series of gifts as they arrived for work, including a goodie bag filled with blue sweets and their very own jar of positive affirmations to boost morale when needed, providing the perfect antidote to the Monday blues. The latest celebration at the nursery follows a tax-free bonus of up to £3,000 for each colleague and a pay rise in December. Nursery Business Administrator Anna Kenrick said, "This presented another fantastic opportunity to show our colleagues how appreciated they are by both colleagues and nursery families." And it is accompanied by a photograph of 2 very happy-looking colleagues, I'm sure they are, with a colourful poster behind saying, "Happy Monday, beat the blues." And each is holding a blue and white striped bag. It doesn't, unfortunately, show the blue sweets. And a jar with their name on it, full of positive affirmations.
Medics join team at Air Ambulance. 3 new critical care doctors have been recruited by Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance to help cope with increasing patient demand. In its commitment to responding to its patients' needs, the charity aims to provide a fully staffed doctor and paramedic crew every day and night. The combination of a highly skilled paramedic and experienced doctor creates a uniquely skilled team perfectly suited to the unpredictable nature of the pre-hospital environment. This ensures patients receive the very best care on what can be the worst day of their lives. Dr. Jonathan Morris, Dr. Anna Barrow, and Dr. Chris Beng each come with experience in different medical backgrounds, ranging from emergency medicine and anaesthesia to paediatrics, and have all worked for other air ambulance services in either the UK or overseas. Two of the doctors are already on board and have been attending the most critically ill and severely injured patients across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, with the third member of the team due to start flying in February 2023. Dr. Morris joins the charity as a consultant anaesthetist, having worked as an air ambulance doctor in Sydney, Australia. The charity aims to have a doctor on board every flight from its airbase in Thruxton, Andover, to aid with scene leadership, supporting complex decision-making and performing the advanced procedural intervention, ranging from open-heart surgery to amputations, all at the scene of an emergency. The doctors work as part of a team of specialist paramedics, pilots and dispatch assistants. Earlier this year, the service extended its flying hours to 19 hours a day, 365 days a year. This was previously shared with another air ambulance service on a fortnightly basis. Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance receive no government or NHS funding and rely entirely on support from the public to keep it flying and saving lives. And there's a picture of Dr. Johnny Morris, one of the three new doctors for the air ambulance, standing in front of a helicopter that with their logo on it.
Deaths of early Lib Dem Council stalwarts. Two long-serving Winchester City councillors who helped expand the Liberal Democrat Party in the district over the last 50 years have died. Both Alan Mitchell and Ian Bidgood died on January the 3rd. Mr. Bidgood represented Coldon Common for many years, beginning in the 1970s, and served as mayor in 1981-82, before retiring in 2008. Mr. Mitchell was councillor for spells from 1971 to 2012 and was council leader from 1994 for several years and mayor from 1999 to 2000. After living in Orient Drive in Hairstock for many years, more recently he'd returned to his native Cardiff. Both men were first elected when the Liberal Party had few councillors and became part of the Liberal Democrats when the party merged with the Social Democrats in the 1960s.
Here we have action-packed programme in store at Science Centre. Melt away the winter blues with some explosive action at Winchester Science Centre over the coming weeks. The temperature may be dropping, but things are heating up at 0 degrees starting January the 28th, the first in a series of six new school holiday seasons in 2023. Between Saturday, January the 28th and Sunday, February the 20th, including every day in February half term, there'll be all the usual fun, plus even more to excite all ages, all included with admission. Experience a free sneak peek inside the magical planetarium, get hands-on with the Science Live cloud-in-a-bottle demo, and visit the Biospace weather station to become a mini-meteorologist. In extreme weather, an exciting free show, live experiments and fascinating facts will shed light on the unexpected and often severe weather we see around the world. This action-packed 20-minute show will take an in-depth look into some of our most crazy weather systems. In the Biospace weather station, families can grab weather-measuring tools and record how the weather is changing throughout the day. And for the first time, the Science Centre is opening up the planetarium for free. For a limited time each day, the doors will be swung open for families to discover the breathtaking colours of the Northern Lights without even leaving Hampshire. The Northern Lights experience isn't a show, it's an exciting sneak peek inside the magical planetarium. Visitors can experience their very own wow moment as they see a spectacular view of the Northern Lights projected onto the dome screen. As this isn't a show, families won't be flying around the solar system, but they'll get to sample the unique atmosphere of the planetarium and hopefully learn something more about the Northern Lights. And don't forget all the other hands-on fun on offer. Visitors can discover more about sound, hearing and vibration on the upper floor. On the lower floor, families can blast off on a journey through Explorer Space and discover more about what it's like to live and work in space in the interactive space zone. 0 degrees is part of the Science Centre's explosive year of fun. Daytimes will be action-packed with 6 brand new seasonal events, one for every school holiday. And this is accompanied by a photo of a very exciting looking girl, young lady, surrounded by the glorious colours of the Northern Lights.
City Centre benches on the move. Benches on Winchester High Street have been removed for maintenance. The seating that can usually be found along the street has recently been removed, leaving many of the locals questioning what has happened to them. In a social media post on January the 13th, Winchester City Council said, "You may have seen our maintenance have been working on the benches in the High Street this week. It's all part of a repair or replace programme, so please bear with us while this work is underway, as there may be a reduction in seating for a short time as the work takes place. But all seating will be replaced as soon as possible." The repair or replace programme was started by the council last week, with £30,000 being allocated for the refurbishment of all the benches in the city centre. A city council spokesman said, "The overall plan is to get all the benches back to what they were like when they were newly installed. It's part of a wider scheme to improve the streetscape across the district. Later in the spring, benches are set to be renewed in the Broadway, Jury Street, Middlebrook Street and St George's Street. And there are a couple of pictures of a man in a yellow waterproof uniform with a whole lot of nuts and bolts and things, presumably unscrewing the benches."
MP backs opposition to free phone street hubs. BT has submitted plans for 5 new street hubs in Winchester city centre. The hubs will replace the more traditional phone boxes which have been in the city for decades. The hubs offer device charging, free emergency calls and air quality monitoring, and also feature digital advertising displays. The hub's planned locations are at 3 Jury Street outside Mr Stowe, 152 High Street outside Chococo, 152 High Street outside Vodafone, 109 to 108 High Street outside O2, and 71 St George's Street outside Primark. A Jury Street wine bar has already submitted public objection to the Winchester City Council, saying it would have a negative effect on the business. Elizabeth Deer, General Manager of Green's Wine Bar, said, "As a neighbouring hospitality business, with a table and chair licence adjoining the proposed site, there will be many negative impacts on our business. First and foremost, aesthetically. Winchester is an historic city, and this factor keeps a visiting footfall high for us. A large LED screen will change the style and appeal of our frontage dramatically and negatively. Secondly, the light cast from the screens will intrude upon our tables and chair area, especially at night, affecting the experience of our customers negatively. Thirdly, the clientele an anonymous internet public phone will attract in a time when everybody has a mobile phone are the type of clientele I do not want hanging around outside my business. I feel strongly that this will be bad for Greens, bad for Jury Street and bad for Winchester." David Munday of Whitebeam Close Winchester submitted an objection to all 5 proposals. He said, "These are advertising displays, not street hubs. They're an eyesore as well as wasteful use of power. They will block the pavement and provide nothing for the local population." Winchester MP Steve Brine said, "The locations are poorly chosen. They clutter the pavements. They're not in the remotest bit compatible with a heritage city like Winchester. My hunch is we don't want giant glass mobile phone-shaped pieces of street furniture telling us all the things we can get on our smartphones if we choose. I hope Winchester City Council will stand against this when they have to make a decision." A BT spokesman said, "We believe Winchester would benefit from the improved functionality offered by street hubs, including free ultra-fast Wi-Fi, rapid device charging, and the potential for enhanced mobile connectivity. Street hubs also take up less space on high streets than traditional payphones and can provide further benefits such as air quality monitoring for local authorities." And there are two photographs of before and after showing sites with and without the street hubs.
Strike action is set to intensify. February is set to be another month full of strikes for Hampshire, with paramedics, nurses, railway workers and teachers disputing unfair pay amid the cost of living crisis. Rail passengers will face further delays with unions, ASLEF and RMT, striking from February the 1st to 3rd. The action will impact passengers across 15 rail companies, including Southwestern Rail, Cross Country and the Southern Gatwick Express, which serves Hampshire. Teachers under the National Educational Union, the NEU, have agreed to 7 days of strikes in February and March. Schools will be impacted by four of the seven dates listed by the NEU on February the 1st, Thursday, March the 2nd, Wednesday, March the 15th and Thursday, March the 16th. The locations of picket lines are yet to be announced and the full extent of the disruption that will be caused is unknown. Schools such as Swanmore Primary have warned parents some classes may have to close. However, the decision might not be possible until the first day of action, as teachers are entitled to keep their intention private. The government has said schools and local authorities should take all reasonable steps to remain open. In the case of restricted attendance, vulnerable children, those with critical worker parents and students preparing for public examinations will be prioritised. The first NEU strike is set to impact 23,400 schools across England and Wales. Paramedics, emergency care assistants and call handlers from the South Central Ambulance Service within the GMB Union will join more than 10,000 ambulance workers striking across the country. The 24-hour strikes will take place on February the 6th, February the 20th, March the 6th and March the 20th. GMB National Secretary Rachel Harrison said, "GMB's ambulance workers are angry. The only way to solve this dispute is a proper pay offer. In the face of government inaction, we are left with no choice but industrial action. GMB ambulance workers are determined they're not going to back down." Nurses will also be continuing to strike in February after ministers refused to open formal negotiation on below-inflation NHS pay award. Action will take place on February the 6th and 7th at 73 NHS trusts, including Portsmouth Hospital and University Hospital Southampton. Nurses from Winchester will not be striking. The RCN Chief Executive Pat Cullen said, "People aren't dying because nurses are striking. Nurses are striking because people are dying. That is how severe things are in the NHS."
New carbon neutral plan. A new council roadmap has shown the range of measures needed for Winchester to become carbon neutral by 2030. Winchester City Council's carbon neutral plan includes interventions to reduce carbon emissions across housing, commercial and transport. The roadmap highlights the need to increase the efficiency of measures with greater cooperation with partner organisations to achieve the 2030 target. The plan was developed in collaboration with stakeholders such as Winchester Action on Climate Crisis, WINAC, Wessex Green Hub, Cycle Winchester, Friends of the Earth, Sustrans, and Hampshire and Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust. 16 interventions have been outlined, covering domestic, commercial, industrial, transport, land use and waste, which include low-traffic neighbourhoods, an increase in solar panels and energy efficiency schemes for tenants. The proposal, although supported by climate action groups, received criticism from Conservative Environment spokesperson and City Councillor Neil Bolton. Councillor Bolton questioned when the roadmap would materialise into action and highlighted that the evidence didn't consider the likely rise in costs of carbon credits. He said, rather than spending on carbon credits, this money should be focused more on domestic interventions that would bring the greatest long-term savings to residents while accelerating a strategy to achieve carbon neutrality.
Fire service faces engines shortfall. The number of fire engines serving the county is often below minimum, a report shows. An inspection of Hampshire and Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service has found there are often fewer engines available than recommended. On occasion, data shows there are only 41 engines available, well below the minimum of 52 vehicles. The inspection was carried out by Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary and Fire and Rescue Services. Two out of three categories of efficiency and people were rated requires improvement. Effectiveness was rated good. But the Fire Service Union claims fire and rescue performance is declining rapidly due to cuts. The report highlights that workforce has dropped by 10.4% in the last 5 years. This is significantly more than the England average of just over 1%. Dave Hunt, Fire Brigade's union official in Hampshire and Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service, says, firefighters will all tell you the same thing. Cuts to resources mean the fire and rescue service performance is declining rapidly. Firefighters and firefighters in our control rooms do the best job they can each and every day. But with fewer firefighters, it's becoming increasingly difficult to maintain public safety. There's been a drop of 10.4% in the workforce over a 5-year period. And quite clearly, as evidenced in the report, this is impacting on response times and the availability of fire engines across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight. It's of great concern to our members and will be to the public. The service minimum level of fire engines is set at 52, and reports say this is rarely achieved. We're aware that at times, including today, when the report has been published, there are only 41 fire engines available, well short of the service's own minimum standard. We will continue to review the document and provide an in-depth response and review to the report once we've discussed it through our structure in the union. Inspectors said the service's overall efficiency at keeping people safe and secure hasn't improved, but they added that the service has the skills it needs to manage change.
And here we have council responds to Cat Lady's death. The long-awaited funeral of a woman who died alone has resurfaced questions over whether enough was done to look out for the 82-year-old. Diane Robbins was found dead, along with some of her cats, days to weeks later in her home in Stanmore in October 2021. Her death in Fox Lane sparked concerns about the level of care taken by the authorities. One neighbour said he spent more than a year and a half calling the City Council, social services and the police for help before Miss Robbins died. The individual then had to fight for Miss Robbins to be given a 30-minute funeral, which took place on Wednesday, January the 11th, at Wessex Vale Crematorium. The service was attended by the Chronicle and three others, with Miss Robbins having no known friends or family. A spokesman from Hampshire County Council said, "This is an exceptionally sad case, and our sincere condolences go to all who may have known this lady. While we are unable to comment in detail on this particular case, as it is subject to a coroner's inquest and wider safeguarding adult review, we have completed our own internal inquiry into the circumstances to help identify any further actions that might have been appropriate to support this lady. Funeral Director Graham Deacon said, "It's not unusual to have people die alone. It's quite common occurrence when people die of a certain age. I made the best of the limited information I had to give her the dignified send-off she deserved. The whole thing was not as we expect of a normal passing, with it being so long from when she died, but we gave her a lovely send-off." The neighbour, who asked to remain anonymous, said he and his wife tried non-stop to get people to help Miss Robbins. He said, "I really hope serious lessons will be learnt from this and it can never be allowed to happen again, especially in social housing where the council have a duty of care to both their tenants and the conditions of a property. They have failed Miss Robbins throughout and they know this too. They put their heads down and say nothing." And it is accompanied by a sad but a kind photograph of a coffin paid for by somebody anonymous being carried into Wessex Vale crematorium with about six people behind it, some of them who had never even met her.
I'm afraid that concludes the extracts for the week ending 27th of January 2023. Thank you to our editors for choosing the extracts, and thank you to our memory stick preparation, copying and dispatch teams. And of course, thanks to today's readers, Vara Williams.
Goodbye.
Tom Williams.
Goodbye.
And Jane Harding.
Goodbye.
And from me, Roy Faithful, thank you for listening, and I hope you stay safe, well and warm in the week ahead. When you have finished with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet, place the correct address label on the front of the wallet too, and return the wallet as soon as possible. Thank you and goodbye.